Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere in the nation on that free Odyssey app. You can also catch us anywhere you get your favorite podcast. Just search the Rob O'Donnell Show. Favorite us, get us into your inbox, and you can get us each and every day. There's a new podcast updated. I'm happy to bring in my next guest, Julie Grant. She's the host of Opening Statement with Julie Grant on Court TV, 8 o'clock Eastern Time on that Court TV. Julie, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show today.
Oh, Rob, it's always great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So, I mean, you had a lot of arms out there today covering things for Court TV, and then this case, the Kohlberger case, with the victim's impact statements today, and some of them, man... Wow. Impactful.
Oh, isn't that the truth, Rob? What a day it was. It's hard to even, I guess, even start. I mean, where do I begin? I think the one person that stood out the most, I mean, they were all very touching for different reasons. As you know, some of them were more somber, some of them more emotional. I would say the one that stood out the most to me was Kaylee Gonsalves' sister, Olivia. Rob, she was the one, if you didn't get a chance to see it, I know you're a really busy guy, it's worth a look back. She ripped Brian Kohlberger apart. She took a very strong, very accusatory, awesome stance where she took away all his power. She basically reduced him to the nothing, pathetic loser that he is. A failure at life, a failure in academia, and a failure at getting away with murder. And, you know, she pointed out what a failure nobody he was, really taking away the power, holding all the control, and asking him all the questions that we all want to know. I mean, it's like she went through everything that I think everybody at home was nodding along, yes, yes, yes. And then at one point she finally said, and I'm going to paraphrase here, you know, what a coward you are that you attacked my sister while she was sleeping. And guess what? If she were awake, it would have been a far different outcome. If she said something different.
That's a really great paraphrase there.
On your show, Rob. I don't want you to never have me back. But it was strong stuff.
Yeah, that's one of the ones that's and I posted on here, and I was actually speaking offline with a 30-year FBI special agent in charge that said pretty much the same thing I did. It was the most profound victim impact statement I have ever heard from anyone in my career as a homicide detective, and he was a 30-year special agent in charge of the FBI and said the same thing. She was straight up gangster. She said, I will not show you tears. I will not show you me crying. I will not show you anything. Because you were not worthy of that. And how she kept her monotone strict. You're right. She drew every bit of strength, every bit of blood out of his face was just taken. For someone who sat there emotionless throughout the entire proceeding, and I'm talking about Brian Kohlberger, she literally took the air out of that room.
She did. You're right, Rob. She was a shining star for her sister, and I'm sure her family is so proud of her and everybody who has wanted for so long to see this despicable person brought to justice for these senseless killings. It was like we all got to live a bit through Olivia Gonsalves, and I think it was like she said what everybody's thinking. She took his power away, reduced him to nothing. It was beautiful. It was just incredible. I'm with you. And I know you've seen so much in your illustrious career, Rob, and it's sometimes things can feel similar, you know, when you're listening to homicide victims. It's awful when you hear the stages of grief they go through. You're right. This one felt different. The stance she took, it was very deliberate, and it was a wow moment that I think everybody is going to remember for years and years to come. I think Kohlberger is going to be forgotten about, but these victims, because of their strength, they're going to be remembered.
And what's ironic here is I know Brian Kohlberger, you know, went to school extensively for this type of scenario, and I think honestly they're going to be teaching Olivia Stevenson's victim impact statement in courses to come throughout the country.
Oh, that's an excellent point, Rob. I sure hope they do. You know, I think we can all learn something from her. I uh, I do, in my spare time, volunteer works, working, you know, with victims advocacy groups, the National Center for Victims of Crime, and then one based in Western Pennsylvania, great state, and it's called Crisis Center North. And I think you're right. I think there's a lot that can be learned from that. I hope that it goes to academia and to the victims' rights organizations in helping people reclaim their power. Because you know how this is, Rob. You know how when a defendant like this takes something so precious, and here he took four beautiful, precious lives from these families, they will never be the same. They feel so powerless. And I think with what Olivia Gonsalves did, it was almost like she did a role reversal. It was like she took that guy to school and then some. I mean, she ate him for lunch and left no crumbs. And it was just fantastic. And I think, you know, maybe others will draw some inspiration from that. And maybe academics in criminology, when I'm sure his case will be studied, hopefully just to learn, as the judge noted, not to give him any infamy, but just to learn from the pattern of behavior and see if there's anything we can prevent in the future. I think you're absolutely right. I think this will be incorporated.
Yeah, and this case, one of the things I posted earlier today before this even was started to be televised is I give the family and friends so much credit for confronting this animal today. I personally would not give him the satisfaction, nor could I. I don't think I could be in that room. I just know me too well. But to see the different spectrums there, you know, we're talking about Olivia and her statement, but then there was an aunt of one of the victims that said, "I forgive you. If you're willing to talk, I'm willing to listen to what you have to say on why you did this." And just the spectrum of emotion in that courtroom just really shows humanity in a microcosm.
You said that so beautifully, Rob. You're right, because we all process things differently. I'm with you. I think a lot of us kind of are able to align our personal viewpoints with the respective families. And I think personally, I align a lot with the Gonsalves's. I would have been mad as heck, wanted to see the death penalty for him, just furious. And then when I see people who can be so big to forgive someone, I think, wow, that is like next to divine for me. That is just incredible. And I feel like people like that, they're just obviously they have such a emotional restraint. That they can kind of compartmentalize and say, you know what, I'm going to. I remember the late, great Dr. Maya Angelou told me when I interviewed her once that forgiveness isn't for the other person. It's for you, so that you don't carry that weight around. And sometimes I think that victims may feel that way, that, you know what, let me let this go so I don't bear this burden. This is on this killer. He's got to live with it and then die with him knowing he committed these crimes.
And we realize, because we've been in this environment, myself as a detective, you as a lawyer, that people process these things differently, and it needs to be individualized. And there's really no cookie cutter that fits all. And I think that's what was allowed today. I think the judge did a phenomenal job. I mean, there was some applause after some of the statements, which is usually not allowed or tolerated. And he kind of gave some leeway there, but it wasn't out of control. But usually you don't hear those types of things during these victim impact statements.
Mm-hmm. You're so right, Rob. The judge, I thought it was excellent too. I loved what I was so curious to hear what he would say, and I loved how he made a couple really important points, and I was so glad he said it, because it was things that I've been thinking about for a long time. And this morning on my show, we were talking about it a bit, about how we want Brian Koberger to be powerless. We don't want him to be in any bit of control. He had enough control already, sadly. And even though victims want answers, and I'm sure you've been through this so many times with all the cases that you've solved, defendants aren't always honest. You know, more times than not, they've been dishonest in my experience. And so it's sometimes like trying to get blood out of a stone. You're not going to be able to get the answers you want. And I loved how the judge said, you know, we don't even know what we'd get from him. And it's another opportunity for him to deceive. And so it was like he kept the power with the victims where it ought to be. And I think, unfortunately, as those detectives acknowledged after the fact, we're just not going to have answers to some things. You saw the press conference, Rob. I'm sure you were the prosecution and all of the law enforcement. servants, you know, were with him, and they all talked about how they worked this case and wanted to identify a motive, and they worked so hard, and just unfortunately, this is one of those cases where they just don't know, and sadly, unless Koberger talks, we'll never know, and can we even believe it if he does talk, right?
Yeah, one of the things, while I was watching it on my TV, I also had my iPad on my table, and I zoomed in just on his face. I wanted to see, and it was kind of just his mouth, his nose, and his eyes. I wanted to see expressions. I wanted to see eye movement. I wanted to see if he cringed at all, and just really nothing for the entire time.
Mm-hmm. You're so right. And he's a tricky one, as you know, Rob. His defense team, they put forth a filing a while back, and they said that and it was to it went to one of the judge's instructions for the jury is the reason for the filing. They wanted a particular instruction. They wanted the jury to know that he is on the autism spectrum and that his affect is not like a person's affect who is not on the spectrum, and that his lack of movement and lack of emotion has to do with his autism spectrum disorder. So that being said, it was part of this motion, and then it really ignited a whole nother conversation with us at Court TV and the various body language experts that come on. And we know, just like you were doing today, I think most people around the country, around the world watching, we're doing the same thing. We're watching for something from him. And it's so hard to know, because, you know, I've always take things with a grain of salt. I'm sure you do too. Just because the defense said it, I don't know if we can believe it. All I'm saying is that they put it in their filing. They swore that this is truth, but I don't know. I'm not his doctor. I don't live with Brian Kober. I have no idea if it's true that he's on the spectrum. So I wonder, is it evil that we're seeing? Is he soulless, gutless, heartless, that he has no emotion? Or is it that it's part of, his autism and his inability to have a reaction that we might recognize as falling in line with the situation.
And again, we're speaking to Julie Grant. She's the host of Opening Statements with Julie Grant on Court TV, 8 o'clock Eastern time. Before I let you go, Julie, one of the things that I saw towards the end, and it was very poignant that I picked up on, and I'm sure you did as well, is the judge was not delaying this any longer. He wanted to get his sentence in. He wanted to make it quick, to the point, and basically, you're gone, and we never want to see you be part of your life again.
You're spot on, Rob. He did. He wants him off to, he's going to this maximum security prison that is apparently one of the worst in the country. So that's a bit of good news for all your incredible listeners. Apparently, it's known for its bad conditions, inmate mistreatment. And so, thank goodness he's being placed there. And it seemed like the judge was ready to close this case and then now start unsealing the documents. As you know, the docket has been so frustrating for so many people wanting some answers and more information. And it's been, sealed off largely. And really not just from the public, but also, I mean, with the gag order on the case, and it just seems like there's been a lot of secrecy. And we heard Steve Gonsalves speak to that today when he spoke out to the media, Kaylee's dad. And he was saying, you know, thank goodness for what President Trump put out on his social media, the pressure to say to the court, hey, you know, I mean, I'm paraphrasing the president's message, but it was essentially, can't the judge do something to make this guy speak and make this guy give us the why? And Steve Gonsalves credited the president, and he said, you know, after the president put that message out, we saw the detectives calling us, and they were giving us information, and we were on the phone for hours and hours getting more information than we had before. So thankfully for that, it seems that we're seeing a shift, and so the Gonsalveses acknowledged it with President Trump's statement, and it seems that the judge, Judge Hippler, the presiding judge on this case, is ready to start going through those documents and unsealing them now that we finally have a disposition. So If there's anything else really pertinent that you think your listeners would be interested in, I'm happy to come back on anytime. Your show is awesome, and you're awesome, Rob. I appreciate you having me today.
Well, was it once I knew the victim impact statements were going today, I reached out to you earlier to see if you were available today. Thankfully, you were, for your expert opinion on this. Julie Grant, host of Opening Statements with Julie Grant on Court TV, 8 o'clock Eastern time in the morning. Thank you for joining us, Julie.
Rob, you're the best. Thank you.
All right. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's always great to have our friend Julie Grant from Court TV on. She's so well-spoken, knows her stuff, just a phenomenal lawyer. And it was great to get her point of view on this. She covers these cases each and every day, and that perspective is what I wanted to bring to you guys, the listeners. So Olivia Stevenson, who was Kaylee Conclave's sister, gave the impact statement that we were discussing. She made it a point. I am not going to show you emotion. I am not going to show you tears. You will not see me cry. I'm going to let you know that you're the nothing in our lives now. And it was a long impact statement, longer, and she ended it by what Julie said so eloquently because we couldn't play it on the air. She basically said, you're lucky that you were the coward you are and attacked her in the middle of the night in her sleep. Because I'm telling you, if you were to attack her in the daylight when she was awake, she would have effing kicked your ass. And that's not what she said. She said the whole thing, but let them know point blank. But here's the part I can play. And this is just 30 seconds of probably a six-minute victim impact statement. The rest of the statement was pretty much just like this. But you can imagine, and I encourage you to find it online and listen to it in its entirety. I'm sorry I can't play the whole thing for you because she does use profanities at times. But I found a segment here just before the end to where she you can get the tone of what she's saying and how she thinks of Brian Kohlberger.
The scariest part about you is how painfully average you turned out to be. The truth is, you're as dumb as they come. Stupid, clumsy, slow, sloppy, weak, dirty. Let me be very clear. Don't ever try to convince yourself you mattered just because someone finally said your name out loud. I see through you.
Think of 6 minutes of that, where she just utterly destroyed and took the life out of Brian Kohlberger. And there were other statements, and again, the entire spectrum of what was said there, where you had one of the victim's aunts saying, I'm not going to carry around the burden of hating you. I forgive you. And if you ever want to talk to someone to explain why you did this to us, I'm willing to sit down and listen. And truly, truly incredible. Let me see. Yeah, I think I could find that here.
I have forgiven. And, you know, this is probably going to bother everybody, but Brian, I'm here today to tell you I have forgiven you. Because I no longer could live with that hate in my heart. And for me to become a better person, I have forgiven you. And anytime you want to talk and tell me what happened, get my number. I'm here. No judgment.
So it just goes to show you the spectrum of what was said there. You did have the mother of Kaylee, who basically said that, I hope you go away for a long time, and I hope you get your ass kicked on a daily basis. She also read a statement from her younger daughter, who was not there, could not attend this, who said some more vulgar things that she hopes he gets in prison. You can't blame them. Their lives were ripped apart. Something was taken from them that could never be replaced. I think the judge did a phenomenal job in managing today. I did not watch a lot of the day-to-day case that came through, but I did watch most of today. And I think he did a phenomenal job. And I think at the end, he basically was not going to delay anything, mess around, or didn't want him in his courtroom anymore. Made sure that everything was done legally to the letter of the law so there was no ambiguity down the road that they could latch on to, but basically said, I'm not going to, I'm going to send you on your way and you're going to go spend the rest of your life there. And when he asked Brian Kohberger if he had anything he wanted to say, Brian Kohberger did say, "I respectfully decline." That was his words exactly. "I respectfully decline." But other than that, like I said, I zoomed in on his face. Usually there's some sort of, I mean, the spectrum here was there was an uncle who spoke and basically said that I want 5 minutes in the woods with you. I'm not going to kill you, but I'm going to show you what pain is. And he was hyped up and had to stop. And I was like, man, I just want to jump over here and hurt you. And that was true emotion. He never acted on it. He never tried. He never rushed. They did have bailiffs everywhere. But you can tell the emotion where he wanted to do what he said he wanted to do. And he let him know that that's how he wanted to deal with him at that point. Does not knowing why this happened change anything? No. Their loved ones are gone. And then, like Julie and I were discussing, different people deal with grief and have to process this in different ways. It's individualized. Immediate family members are going to deal with things differently. Identical twins will deal with things differently. It does not matter. And you saw that spectrum there where you had an aunt saying, I just can't go on with my life with this weight on me. I have to forgive you. And I want you to help me understand if you're willing to ever say that. And then you had family members who were, you know, basically, I hope you get your head bashed in every day in prison. You know, I hope you get sexually abused every day in prison. That's pretty much what was said. And then you had uncles saying, you know, I wish I could take you out in the woods right now and beat you with an inch of your life. I won't kill you, but I'd like to beat you with an inch of your life. The judge thanked everybody for their statement because the judge understands how hard this is. Like I said, I could not do it. And this case hit home for me from the start. You know, my two daughters are Kaylee and Madison, two of the victims in this case, names. So when this first happened and we first started covering this when I was here until today, and hopefully we don't have to cover it ever again. That's my goal. Let him go on to obscurity, but maybe we will talk about if he does, you know, have to take a trip to the hospital because some jailhouse justice was done. Honestly, I don't care. It's 5:42 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. So Bernie Sanders, as we start to wind things down today, Bernie Sanders was on CNN yesterday. And this is coming from Bernie Sanders' own post on social media. And I'm going to play you the video of Anderson Cooper interviewing him in a second. Bernie Sanders posted, "Undocumented immigrants do the backbreaking work that keeps this country going. Picking our food, working our meatpacking plants, providing child care for our kids, supporting our grandparents in nursing homes. We need comprehensive immigration reform, not mass deportations." That's what he posted. And it's pretty much what he's going to say in this interview here.
This is where I think the American people are at. If you are a drug dealer, if you are somebody in this country undocumented or has committed a crime, I think most people think, hey, have a nice day, you're out of here. And I support that. But the truth is that the vast majority of the people who are being picked up, put in vans, sent to detention centers, and God knows what else, these are people who do not have criminal records in the United States of America. And I should tell you that many of them, the majority of them, are hardworking people doing some of the most difficult, dirty, underpaid work in this country. They are the people who are harvesting our crops. They're working in meatpacking plants. They are working in nursing homes for starvation wages. They're working in child care centers for inadequate wages. During COVID, in many respects, this is a group of people who are the essential workers. They kept our economy going, and some of them died in the process. They're raising their kids here. So I think the American people feel, yeah, we need a strong border. Yeah, we need to get criminal elements or undocumented out of this country. But I think the American people are sick and tired of seeing hardworking people being treated the way they are treated. And in some cases, Anderson, if you can believe it, picked up and sent to Sudan. Now, what is that about? I mean, how cruel is that to send people to a country they don't know the language, they know it's a country in falling apart? So I have a lot of concerns about what Trump is doing in terms of mass deportation.
So that's what he posted himself. That's his ad. That's what he posted under Bernie and put out there. And I guess if you work in a meatpacking plant or daycare or nursing home and you're illegal, you get some kind of waiver that you're not illegal anymore. But here's the thing. Is he really touting that unvetted illegal immigrants without background checks provide child care and elder care in our nursing homes and daycares? Why even have laws that mandate for such if safety is subjective? I mean, if you want to go on your kid's school trip during the school year, you have to get a background check. Simple as that. If you're going to be a volunteer on a sports team at your kid's school or a volunteer on your kid's youth sports team, you have to get a background check. But here is a sitting senator saying, well, these are illegal immigrants. And although they work hard doing things like childcare and working in our nursing homes and working in our meatpacking plants and our, you know, you notice how he said just undocumented many times. Well, no one's picking up documented people who have a visa or work here that has not been revoked or anything and shipping them out. If you're here illegally. And that's the conflation that they're trying to move back and forth. But are you really saying that these illegal immigrants who were unvetted because they can't get background checks done, right? Working in daycares? How are they working in a daycare if they don't have a background check? If they don't have the same checks that you or I would need to get if we wanted to go on our own child's school trip? How are they working in nursing homes? How are they working anywhere if they're here illegally, if it's not under the table and undocumented? Is that not victimizing themselves in itself? See, they want to skip past that. They want to make it seem like, well, that's not the issue here. And again, I agree. People who have lived here more than 5 years ago, you do not have a criminal record. You're not a burden on social services. We need to come up with some sort of plan to give them a path to be here legally. Not amnesty, not citizenship. There will be some kind of penalty for you being here illegally to begin with. But we understand the situation. We also come to the reality that our nation is built on immigrants. Let's fix the problem. And this problem isn't just from today. It's not from the past 4 years, even though it was totally blown up on steroids the past 4 years. But it's been a problem for decades. We've always known that we needed comprehensive immigration reform. What that looks like, well, that's why we elect people. But no, anyone who's come here illegally should never become a citizen. If you want to self-deport, if you want to go through the process properly, then you have a chance. If you take the proper routes that's established by law now to become a citizen eventually. If you now, under current policy, and the Secretary of Homeland Security has said that, if you self-deport now and do the process legally, yes, you can become a U.S. citizen down the road. You're not putting that in jeopardy if you self-deport. But if you've come in over the past 5 years using the system to where it was manipulated by unethical politicians and people in power to flood our system, we were just talking 183,000 in 1 month. Nope. You all got to go. Every single one of you. Anyone with a criminal record, you need to go. Every single one of you. And until you start doing that, while we get other people who just happen to be here illegally, well, sorry, you got caught up in the mess that was created by the last administration, not this one. But you have the opportunity to self-deport. You have the opportunity to go back and start from go. And you have a chance. And we need those chances here in America. And we need to expand those chances. And I've said this from the start. Being against or anti-illegal immigration is not against immigration. They want you to think it's one and the same. But you just had a sitting congressman who ran for president twice, could possibly run for president again, or at least be a power player in the next presidential run, making a ton of money traveling the nation, saying that right now we have illegal immigrants working in our child care facilities, working in our nursing homes, and we need them to do such. Well, these are unvetted, no background checked individuals. How does that jive with the current laws across America to where you must have a background check by law? And if that's not the case, then do away with that law. Say, well, then no one needs a background check to work in these facilities. Are we going to do that? I doubt it. And if he's that strongly to advocate for illegal immigrants that works in these facilities, well, then advocate that anybody. Well, why shouldn't a felon be able to work there if they're reformed and they did their time? See, they won't go that far because it's about voters. They're saying it now. You know, we have a congresswoman from 2 years ago who said it was about redistricting because the census does count illegal immigrants and it does manipulate the census and congressional districts. But only citizens can vote in federal elections. Well, you have Chuck Schumer just this week saying that all 11 million, that's a low number for most standards, but let's say it is 11 million, all 11 million illegal immigrants. We need to get a pathway for them to become citizens. No, we don't. I'm okay with a large portion of them becoming legal residents, but not citizens. Because that was the motive from the start. That's the manipulation from the start. And that's why this illegal influx was not only allowed, but put on steroids. And that's all you can say it was. You had a presidential administration saying, I've done all I can to secure the border. I can't do more without congressional action. And you had this administration come in and within 2 months secure the border and have secured it since. They lied to you. They lied to me. They lied to America. And you have Bernie Sanders saying, well, they're sending people to Sudan. Why? How dare they do that? They don't speak the language, and Sudan's a horrible country. All right, well, you know who they're sending to Sudan? Venezuelans, because their country won't take them back. So what are we supposed to do with them? Just leave them here? Cuba, because their country won't take them back. Through the deal that this administration just made to get us our 10 hostages, American hostages back, well, 160 Venezuelan prisoners from El Salvador just went back to Venezuela. You see how easy they are to take back their own prisoners now. But that's who's going to places like Sudan, countries that won't take their residents back. And if you come from a different country and you go through three other countries and enter through Mexico, why shouldn't you just go back to the last country you were in? Well, because they won't take you. And then again, we're stuck with the problem. But here's a bigger problem. He's admitting that these individuals, unvetted, unbackground checked, are working in child care facilities and in our nursing homes. That's not a problem within itself. Then do away with the law altogether. Why do I need a background check to go on my kids' or my grandkids' school trip? It's 5:57 here at WILK. We'll be back. Well, that's it for us today on this Wednesday, July 23rd, 2025. We'll have some of those interviews up today, later today or tomorrow, one or the other. What? Julie's up already? All right. So you can hear the interview with Julie Grant from Court TV. That's already up on our social media. If not, we'll be back here tomorrow to do it all again. And remember, Wednesday's over. You're on the downside of the week. We got Thursday, Friday. Next week is the end of July. August is here. All you educators are going back to school soon. All your kiddos are going. Moms and dads, hang on. They're going back to college. They're going back. You're going to have clean rooms again. I know what it's like. Oh, that being said, we're going to have a good rest of the week. Hopefully hopefully there is not much news, but we'll make some stuff up. See you tomorrow.